What you are about to hear is the story of a connection that was made between a television series and a viewer's life. Our television set sits in the corner of our living room, befriending us, educating us, inspiring us, making us laugh or cry or tear our hair out in frustration. It is a far more constant companion than most of the friends we will ever make, or even our family. The You and Who books are the story of that companionship, that connection, as told by the people who watch the programmes that make us come alive, chiefly, of course, Doctor Who. This podcast will relate some of those stories. You're listening to You and Who Talking, and I'm J.R. Southall, the creator and chief editor of the series.
Hi, I'm Rob.
And I'm JR.
And you're listening to You and Who Talking, where this week we'll be hearing from Phil Cannon talking about a very little known British program that I'd never even heard of myself, Badger by Owllight. JR, had you ever watched this back in the day?
No, I hadn't even heard of it when he sent the essay in. And this is one of those great things that sort of came up during the course of doing the You and Who Else book. It's about these series that really have completely disappeared.
That's right. I mean, in this modern era of streaming and such, even movies and TV shows that have been released are now disappearing and going out of print. But there are cases where some shows and movies have never appeared on VHS tape, never appeared on DVD, and they become all the more mysterious for it.
Yeah, because I mean, if they've not been on VHS and they came out before people started home recording, because I mean, a lot of these turn up on YouTube, but Badger by Owllight, obviously, is pre even any way anybody had of getting it up on YouTube, so you can't even sort of see it illicitly there either. It's just totally gone.
Exactly, and I don't want to preempt his essay too much, but sometimes you wonder, are these things best left in the past sometimes, or are they worth revisiting, if you can revisit them? It's always a bit of a conundrum.
Yeah, it's one of those odd things. It's the case of the memory living on in such a way that if you were ever to see the programme itself again, might not be sort of equaled by the original presentation, but, you know. Another thing he touches on as well, actually, is bullying, which is, again, something that I think a lot of our listeners, either through first-hand experience or through witnessing it, will kind of have their own feelings about. So this is a pretty good essay in that I think there's a lot in here that people will, if not necessarily specifically, but in a general way, kind of recognise about, you know, their own lives and experiences.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot to unpack, so shall we get to it?
I think we should.
Mr. Sutcliffe, Jesus, and an Interesting Ornament. Badger by Owllight by Phil Cannon, age 47, London. Favourite TV programme, Doctor Who. Growing up in the 1970s and 1980s, television in the UK appeared to me at the time to be awash with fantasy series, with the mighty and very much missed Gerry Anderson and Doctor Who feeding that particular need in my childhood. Even the occasional supernatural children's TV programme appeared from time to time, with Children of the Stones lasting very long in the memory. But of course, fantasy and the supernatural was really the domain of adults, or so it appeared. The Christmas ghost stories of M.R. James, the Omega Factor, Survivors and Doomwatch, to name but a few. But there was one particular reason why I was drawn towards series such as these, and that is that they were an escape route. I had a fairly uneventful childhood at home and have no real bad memories. I was very happy. But school life was a different matter. From infant school right through to when I finished secondary school, I was bullied. And the main reason for this bullying? Having red hair. Gingernut, Coppertop, Duracell. The list of names I was taunted with on a daily basis went on and on. And when I refused to stand up for myself, the more adventurous bully would give me the occasional punch. Or when I got older, it would be a gang giving me beats, as they eloquently put it. So the worlds of fantasy and the supernatural on TV would allow me to escape the hell I was put through. I could forget about the misery and go travelling with the Doctor in his TARDIS, or hang out with Blake Seven on the bridge of the Liberator. Bullying is a daily grind that a lot of children have to endure, and I'm sure that I was not the first, nor certainly the last, to leave all that behind for an hour or two each day through television. I was also fortunate in that my parents would indulge or feed my appetite for fantasy and the supernatural. Now and again I was allowed to stay up and watch the occasional supernatural show if my parents thought it was suitable, which usually meant no sex. But I would see things like Thriller on ITV or Dead of Night on the BBC. My favourite time of the year back in the 1970s and, I think, the early 1980s was the horror double bill on Saturday nights on BBC Two, which is where I got my taste for horror and the supernatural. Hammer, Universal, Amicus, Tigon, all names of film companies that became familiar to me as a child and probably more familiar than anything I was learning at school. In fact, one of my very few happy memories of being at junior school was crowding around a boy in my class who had bought in a copy of Dennis Gifford's A Pictorial History of Horror Movies. This was a book I coveted more than any other, and after a lot of pester power, my parents bought it for me one Christmas. It still sits proudly on my bookshelf today. Despite this cornucopia of British fantasy and supernatural TV from which to choose, one drama has stayed in the dusty corners of my memories for over 30 years. A TV serial which has not been repeated since its original transmission, that has not had a VHS or DVD release, and one that won't even show up on YouTube. A drama that goes by the name of Badger by Owlite. Badger by Owlite was a three-part story, which would no doubt now be called a mini-series, shown over three consecutive weeks on BBC One at 9:25pm in April 1982. In fact, the day after the first episode was transmitted on the 1st of April, Argentina invaded the Falkland Islands. So with this then momentous event in British social and political history occurring at the same time, it was amazing that this series was ever broadcast straight after the BBC 9 o'clock news at all. These are the days before 24-hour rolling news channels, so TV shows very often made way for extended news programmes. The BBC 9 o'clock news and the news at 10 on ITV were a big deal back then, and were often given precedence over the programmes that followed them. I'm not saying this still doesn't happen on modern television, but when I was growing up and being an impatient child, if the news was extended, my heart used to sink. In fact, to this day, I have never forgiven Elvis Presley for kicking the bucket on my 7th birthday. They cancelled Hong Kong Phooey. Despite Britain going to war with Argentina, the BBC still managed to show Badger by Owlite at the allotted time. It was written by Eddie Boyd and produced by BBC Scotland, and the story dealt with Peter Tallien, a hitman played by Cavan Kendall, who was tasked with infiltrating a religious cult that had committed a terrorist atrocity in London in order to eliminate its leader. Sadly, this very flimsy outline of the plot is all I have subsequently discovered about it in my quest to track it down. Shown 33 years ago with no repeats and no release on any video media, Badger by Owlite is genuine rarity. No one I've ever spoken to remembers it now, and even digging around on the internet has not produced any real information. But Badger by Owlite has remained in my memory for one very good reason. It was damned creepy. Despite my very basic description of the plot, this TV drama included some extremely vivid imagery that has stayed with me ever since, including a severed head on a plate, a painting of Christ that kept changing its expression, and the first gay kiss I'd ever seen on television. With my being fairly used to horror and supernatural imagery, Badger by Owlite should have been a breeze to watch. But the entire serial had a sense of dread about it that got under my skin and has never left me. Most of this came from that painting of Christ, a painting that was always present when something bad was going to happen. And when something bad did happen, Christ's expression would change from one of serenity to a look of manic glee at witnessing the violence in front of him. It was this taking of a religious image that is usually associated with forgiveness and understanding, and turning it into a face expressing joy at such violence and evil that was, to my 11-year-old eyes, so damn terrifying. This was Jesus Christ, who we sang lots of happy clappy songs about at school, and here he was taking pleasure in someone getting a good old-fashioned kicking. In the last episode, the painting is tossed into a fire, and Christ's expression changes to one of terror as he burns. Lord knows what Mary Whitehouse thought about this at the time. Actually, I couldn't care less about someone who got offended on other people's behalf. What a waste of her time. There was also the gay kiss. Back in 1982, this was a big deal. Two men kissing was something you just didn't see on TV. However, as I recall, it wasn't a massive snog with lots of tongues. It was just a quick peck on the lips. By today's standards, it would be pretty tame, but back then it was fairly progressive stuff, especially for a BBC drama shown on Thursday evenings. But it's not the memory of two men kissing so much as one of the actors who was doing the kissing that has made it stick in my memory. The actor was James Wynn. Now, the name may not mean much, but this was an actor who was very familiar to many children at the time. You see, James Wynn played Mr. Sutcliffe in Grange Hill. I was 11 years old and just watched my first gay kiss on TV, and it had been performed by Mr. Sutcliffe. I remember thinking that Tucker Jenkins would have had a field day with this. One thing I clearly remember is that James Wynn's performance wasn't of the camp variety. In 1982, the only gay men on TV I was aware of were John Inman, Mr. Humphreys and I Being Served, and Larry Grayson, who hosted the long-running BBC show The Generation Game. While both men were extremely popular on television at the time, they were examples of how the British public liked homosexual to be. Camp. Extremely camp. But James Wynn's portrayal was of a man involved in a murderous religious cult who just happened to be gay. Nothing was signposted. When the kiss happened, it was out of the blue. And I think that's why it's one of the things I remember about the programme, that it was completely unexpected. I seem to remember also that his character met a bloody end, blasted in the chest with a shotgun. Not only had I seen Mr. Sutcliffe kiss another man, I'd also watched him being shot to death. They never had that in Grange Hill. But the money shot, the one thing that the few people who do remember Badgerbot Airlight remember at all, is the severed head on a plate, resting on the mantelpiece like a grisly Toby jug. This was the goriest thing I'd ever seen on television in my life. While Hammer in particular pushed the envelope for gore, or rather their own special Kensington gore, and look that one up if you don't know what I mean by it, they were rather tame by today's standards, or even by the standards of 1982. But a severed head in all its bloody glory in a midweek BBC drama? Unheard of. But there it was, and I can clearly remember that it wasn't a particularly clean-looking severed head, if you take my meaning. Maybe it's my memory playing tricks, but it appeared that the head hadn't been too keen on being removed, and it had therefore been detached in a very violent way. We never witnessed the decapitation. Of course, just the aftermath, with a little blood trickling from the nose and the mouth, and the most vivid part was the tendons and sinew resting on the plate that was still attached to the neck. My 11-year-old self had only ever seen severed heads in the aforementioned book by Dennis Gifford, and they were always bloodless, always the result of a very clean cut. But this was different. I remember the camera didn't dwell on the image. It was out of focus in the background until one of the characters saw it, and there was a quick close-up, and that was basically the last you saw. And because the camera didn't dwell on it, the image was all the more horrifying, as if the viewer had looked away at the same time as the character. Despite the scene lasting mere moments, I can still see it in such detail over 30 years later. But this is pretty much where my memories of Badgerbot Owlight end. Those vivid images were what stayed with me rather than the plot. While trying to find out more about the series, searches revealed that some of the actors are or were connected to the fantasy genre in other ways. Bernard Horsfall appeared in Doctor Who, Heather Wright was in Inseminoid, and perhaps most well known of all was Andrew Keir of Quatermass in the Pit and Dracula Prince of Darkness fame. Perhaps this was the ploy by the programme makers to further boost its horror credentials, but I have no recollection of these actors appearing, to my eternal shame. With no repeat and no DVD release, the chances of my reacquainting myself with Badgerbot Owlight are extremely slim. And that is a shame. I do remember people talking about it a lot after it had finished. But was that for the right or wrong reasons? Was it because it was a cracking piece of supernatural drama? Or were people complaining? In a way, I don't really want to find out. Perhaps it should never be repeated. Perhaps it should never get a DVD release. Perhaps it is better to just remember it as I do, and to keep those childhood memories intact. Besides, I probably misremembered the whole thing, and it was a Ray Cooney bedroom farce. From You and Who Else.
You've been listening to You and Who Talking, presented by Rob Irwin with J.R. Southall. The You and Who books, from which all royalties are paid to charity, are available in print and for Kindle from watchingbooks.weebly.com.